Okay, Chevra, good evening. Thank you again for coming to the Shiur. It's really very appreciated. I actually enjoy giving the Shiur. I prepare and I enjoy learning with you, even virtually. Hopefully,
I'm not sure.
the vaccines will soon become more common. We'll be able to learn in person, although I'm not holding my breath on that one, but we'll do the best we can. Okay, Chevra, we're learning Maseches Sukkah. And there's a Mishnah here on Daf Tesvav. I believe last time we learned, we read this Mishnah briefly. Excuse me, this Mishnah in Daf Tesayin. Last time we learned, we read this Mishnah briefly. I want to touch on the Mishnah again and then go into the Gemara. Zok the Mishnah. Hameshalsha Defanos Melmala Lamata. If a person is, Rashi understands that Meshalshel means you're lowering the walls. In other words, you have the sukkah at the top, and then you're building the walls top down. You're building the walls top down. Rashi also comments that you're weaving the walls, right? Rashi writes, Hisko la'aro kamechitza etzel haschach. You begin to weave the mechitza down from the schach, and you're heading downwards. So, if I lower the walls in the sense of I make the walls top down, if I have these walls and they are more than three tefachim above the ground, then it's puzzle. The basic halacha is that a mechitza is supposed to touch the ground. If the mechitza does not touch the ground, so that is invalid as a mechitza. However, the Gemara has a halacha l'mashmi Sinai that we encountered earlier in the Masechta on Daf Vav called Lavud. Lavud tells me that whatever is within three tefachim is considered like it's attached. So if I start my mechitzas from the top and I go down, 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 if it ends up within three tefachim from the ground, it's going to be kosher. But if it is above three tefachim from the ground, if it's gavoah min ha'aretz shlosha, then it's going to be pasul, then it's not good. The reason why it's pasul, the Gemara tells me in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Aleph, is because of a rule that this is a mechitza shehagadayim bok imbo. This is a mechitza that the kids in the sense of the little goats run through. And the principle is that mechitza shagadayim bokim bo is not a good mechitza. Actually, this is one of the issues that came up when the Chasam Sofer became the rabbi in Pressburg. So he had some issues with the local Eruv. But initially, the Chasam Sofer did not want to make a stink about the Eruv because he said his predecessor, Reb Meshulam Igra, was a big Talmud Chacham, and he didn't want to start up with his predecessor's Eruv. The Chasam Sofer didn't like some of the things. One of the things that the Chasam Sofer didn't like is Reb Meshulam Igra built the Eruv in a way that they had mechitzos, which were above three tefachim from the ground, but they were built in a place that animals could not possibly run through. So Reb Meshulam Igra said, "Oh, this is going to be kosher, because the reason why a mechitza above three tefachim is no good is because the kids, the little goats, go through it. But if it was, I don't remember the exact scenario." But it was done in a way, you could use your own creative imaginations, that the mechitza is more than three tefachim above the ground, but no one could run through that area. So Meshulam Igra said it's okay. The Chasam Sofer said it's possible, right? That's a machlokes about whether gedayim bokim bo is what we call a siba or a simen. The fact that the little goat can run through it, is that the cause? Is that what invalidates the mechitza? Is that a siman? Does that show that's just not a kosher mechitza? The Chasam Sofer felt the mechitza was kosher. Meshulam Igra felt it was kosher. You also see from that entire discussion, which is really interesting, because the Chasam Sofer is clearly a big Talmud Chacham, but he didn't want to start up with his predecessor's Erev. He felt that Rebbe Sholem Mikra built an Erev. You should leave that. That's an interesting thing from that conversation. So let's just go on. So if I'm a shaush, if I have my walls and I'm going building my walls top down, I'm weaving them going down. If it's more than three tefachim over the ground, it's pasul, because that is a problem. Rashi comments, psula dahainu kedesha yizdake hagedi b'bav asrosh damaron de psula. Right, three tefachim is that a little kid, a gedi, can go through b'bav asrosh with its head straight up. If, however, I go milmata lamaila, if I go bottom up, so im gavoh asar tefachim kshera. If the mechitza starts at the bottom and goes up, so long as the mechitza is 10 tefachim tall, it's going to be kosher. The mechitza does not have to reach the schach. You can have space between the wall and the schach, and that is going to be perfectly kosher. That's what the Mishnah says. This, of course, was very relevant this year because of COVID. People did not, often sukkahs are like relatively small. People did not want to have their sukkah completely enclosed. So what they would do very often is they would build a shorty wall sukkah. Right? The sukkah would be relatively short and there'd be airspace up on top. And therefore it would solve the issue. It's not as contained. It is, to my mind, a huge bizayon that when you go through the heights and you see all of these restaurants that officially are having outdoor dining because it's safer, right? But it's not really safer because they are completely enclosed. I don't know if you have this in Florida, Peter, but you have these outdoor eating areas which are basically completely enclosed. And officially, it's supposed to be safer because it's outdoors. But if anything, it makes it more dangerous because it's a smaller space.
In Florida, everything is open.
Oh, really open?
Outside, inside, every store, every restaurant.
So that probably has something to do with the fact that... That's something to do with the fact that your weather is probably better than our weather up here in New York. I don't think I'm the only one who has noticed that these restaurants up here in New York are officially open air, but they're really not open air, these small outdoor places. But as a matter of halacha, a sukkah does not need that the walls touch the schach, right? If it's gavoh asar tefachim, if the wall is 10 tefachim tall, it's going to be kosher no matter what. That's the pashtus in our Mishnah. It happens that the Rambam and the Rif have an extra line here in the Mishnah which does not appear in our text of the Mishnah. The Rambam and the Rif add a line that if the wall is 10 tefachim tall, it's kosher, but the schach cannot be more than 3 tefachim away from the wall. In other words, I can have a short wall and have my schach well on top of it, something like that. No? That's perfectly fine. But if my schach is 3 tefachim away from the wall and the wall does not touch it, then it's going to be pasul. Even though as a matter of halacha, we learned rules of dofen akuma and the like, rules that we can say that the wall curves, but the Rambam and the Rif assume that that does not help when the schach is not touching the wall. Only when the schach is touching the wall can I apply this principle of dofen akuma. But if I have a shorty wall and the schach is not touching it, so then for the Rambam and the Rif, it is going to be a problem. Effectively, that's probably just because people don't make walls with empty space in them. Dofen akuma means I could have a crooked wall. So I could have a wall like this, no? I could have a crooked wall. But no one, right, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is crooked walls. But no one builds a wall with like airspace in the middle, right? For a simple reason. Ready, construction people? It will fall down. Right? If there's airspace in the middle of the wall, it ain't gonna last. It's not going to work. So therefore, the Rambam and the Rif have a text in our Mishnah that a 10 tefach wall is good, But that's only true if the schach is directly on top of that 10 tefach wall. And the schach is not directly on top of it, so then it's going to be a problem. Mistoma, because the rule of Dofen Akuma is not applicable with airspace because it's not called a wall. Rabbi Yossi Omer. The Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yossi says, Kishem Shemilmata Lemaila Asaret Fachim, Kach Momala Lemata Asaret Fachim. Rabbi Yossi says that just like if you have 10 tefachim of wall on the floor, the halacha allows us to use our halachic imagination and to draw it all the way up. So also if I have 10 tefachim from the top, 10 tefachim from the ceiling, the halacha allows me to use my halachic imagination and draw it down, 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 down. Right? Rabbi Yossi basically says that you can have a wall of a sukkah that is not touching the ground. It's basically nowhere near the ground. As long as it's 10 tefachim of wall, it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Yossi denies this principle that we have called mechitza, this principle called mechitza shagadayim bokimbo. He denies this principle entirely, and that's what the Gemara comments. B'maykom mifligi, what's the machlokes of the Gemara? Mar savar mechitza tuluya materes, umar savar mechitza tuluya ena materes. The machlokes is whether a hanging mechitza works or a hanging mechitza does not work. That's what the Gemara says. According to Reb Yossi, a hanging mechitza is good. But according to the Chachomim, a hanging mechitza is no good. The mechitza has to be close to the ground.
Could you give me the Gemara, please?
Again?
Could you give me the Gemara?
Yeah. Do you see it? B'mayka miflagi. Here the Gemara writes, right, that the machlokas is whether mechitza teluya is matir. Does mechitza teluya work? Or does mechitza teluya not work? Does a hanging mechitza count as a mechitza? That's the dispute between the Chachomim and Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says that a hanging mechitza is just fine as a mechitza. Now, everybody holds that a mechitza that starts from the ground and goes up is going to be kosher, even though the mechitza does not touch the schach. The machlokas is only if a mechitza starts on the top, can we draw it down? The Meiri and others have an expression over here that everyone agrees to the principle of good asik. The machlokes is whether I say good aches. Okay, there is good asik, which means that I have a wall and I raise it up. Good asik, that everybody agrees. The machlokes is whether I say good aches. If I have a wall that's hanging, does the halacha allow me to draw it down imaginarily to fill that in? Machlokes is whether I say good aches. Now, the reason why good asik is more pashut than good aches, the Meiri explains, is very, it's a very basic idea. Like, it's not complex logic at all. The Meiri says that when people build walls, do you start from the bottom or you start from the top? When I build a wall, I start from the bottom. So because I start from the bottom, therefore the halacha allows me to use my halachic imagination and draw it all the way up. But we don't say good aches. We don't say that because we don't say that if it starts at the top, it goes down, because it can't go down, since that's not the ordinary way of building walls. That's the way the Meiri learns the Gemara. What's interesting over here, just without getting too involved, is the Gemara on Daf Daled taught us a principle that we do not say good asik by sukkah. But if you remember, we had the case about if the sukkah is above 20 amos, so the sukkah is pasul. let's say I have a little mound in the middle of the sukkah. I have like a, I don't know, like a barrel, just a mound of dirt in the middle of the sukkah. So the question is, can I say that those walls of the mound, can I draw them imaginarily up, 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 so that it touches the schach? So the Gemara says, at first we think that that will make it a kosher sukkah. Then the Gemara says, no, it won't be a kosher sukkah, because the principle is that we do not say good asik by sukkah. The conclusion of the Gemara Daf Dalet is we do not say good asik by sukkah. And that, of course, raises a question as to how can you learn our Mishnah? How come in our Mishnah, when I have a mechitza that is 10 tefachim from the ground, so we say, well, the schach is way up there, but it's going to be kosher. Why is it going to be kosher if the halacha doesn't say good asik? So that's a good question. The answer probably is that this is the halacha by sukkah. In other words, that there is no din that the walls have to touch the schach at all. The din is that you need schach and you need walls, but you don't need them to touch at all. It happens that if you start at the top and the walls are not within three tefachim of the ground, so then you don't have walls. I just need walls and schach, but I don't need the two to be connected at all. That seems to be the din. I think we should go on in the Gemara. Good? Questions, comments? Head shaking means good. Okay, excellent. Zuck the Gemara. Tanan Hasan. Right, it's like the third line in the Gemara. Tanan Hasan, this is a Mishnah that's quoted in Erevin. The Mishnah Erevin says, let's just talk about Erevin very briefly. What we call an Erev, like they say that the Erev this week is sponsored by the Washington Heights congregation, etc. Right? The Erev that around the Heights, people talk about those Suras HaPesachs. I have a post here, and a string on top. That's what people usually call Erev. That is one type of Erev. But the real halacha of Erev is that if you have people who live in the same enclosed area, it is usur for them to carry from one to the other. And it's usur for me to carry from my area into a semi-public area unless we have a box of matzah that we share. That's the regular halacha of Erev. Now, the halacha of Erev also goes that let's say we all live in the building and we all join together. We all share a box of matzah. So then we could all carry in the hallways. Let's say, however, there are some people who did not join in that box of matzah. There's some people who are not part of the food. So in that situation, they make it usur for everybody else. It becomes usur for everyone to use the public space, because since there's one person who is in the chatzer, there's one person in the courtyard who does not contribute to the Erev, who's not part of that box of matzah. So the halacha is that that person makes it usur for everybody else. Now, let's say I have two courtyards, one next to the other, and there is a bar, it's not Hassam, it's a mission in Erevin, five lines at the bottom, bar shabin shtei chatzeros. You have a bar we would usually translate as pit, but in this case it doesn't mean pit, it really means cistern. In other words, you have this cistern between two different courtyards, and everyone wants to partake in, let's say, the wine that you have there. But I've got a problem, because this cistern is half in my courtyard and it's half in your courtyard. And me and you did not join together in an Erev. So I'm not allowed to take the stuff from your courtyard. And you can't take the stuff from my courtyard. And since the cistern is right between them, right? So then I'm not allowed to take wine from the cistern because maybe the wine that I'm getting is from your wine, is from your side of the cistern. You can't take wine because maybe it's on my side. So how do I solve this problem? So in order to solve this problem, you have to somehow create some sort of mechitza that will separate the two halves of the cistern. There's your half and my half, and we have a mechitza between us. We have a barrier. So that's the topic of conversation in this Mishnah. Barashim in shtei chatzeris. You have a cistern between two courtyards. Ein memalan mimena b'shabbos. Ella im kain asala mechitza asara tfachim. Bein milmala, bein milmata, bein betoch ogno. In order to fill from it, you have to have a mechitza. And this first opinion says that the mechitza that I have needs to be a mechitza that's built specifically for the cistern. You can't fill up from that cistern unless Elam Kain Asa La Mechitza Asar Tfachim, unless you make a mechitza 10 tfachim specifically for that cistern. And that mechitza could be on the top, on the bottom. The correct text over here probably is, right, mitoch ogno, that it has to be inside the rim of the cistern. I have to build a mechitza special for the cistern. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, and let's just turn the page. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, that Beishamai Omer Momala, Beishila Omer Momata. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that Beishamai says the mechitza could be top down. Beis Hillel says the mechitza has to be bottom up. Now, I should clarify that top and bottom over here, it's not exactly clear what it means. The Gemara in Erevin actually has a machlokas. Does top mean above the wine level? Does bottom mean below the wine level? Or does both top and bottom mean above the wine level, but bottom means pretty close to the wine level, top means pretty high up, right? Alternatively, maybe it has to be mostly on top, a little bit at the bottom, or mostly at bottom, a little bit at the top. There's a few different possibilities that the Gemara in Erevin addresses. So according to version one of the Gemara, the only heter I have to fill wine from the cistern, or to fill water from the cistern, whatever it is if I have a special mechitza that's built for the cistern, and that mechitza could be either on top or on bottom. Version one say they both work. It just has to be that the mechitza, which I have, is constructed specifically for the cistern. It doesn't suffice if I have the regular wall between the courtyards. It has to be something that's built specifically for the cistern. Version 2 in the Gemara is that this is Machlekes Beishamai Beis Hillel. Beishamai says top, down. Beis Hillel says bottom, up. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo tehe mechitza gedola min hakotel shebeinehen. Rav Yehuda says that you don't need a special mechitza for the cistern. Lo tehe mechitza gedola min hakotel shebeinehen. If you have a wall between the two courtyards, that's sufficient. You don't need a separate mechitza between them. That basically means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mechitza that separates the two courtyards also works for the cistern. Now, let's just develop one more principle here. When I say that a mechitza taluya, when I said that we had in the Mishnah that a hanging mechitza, a mechitza that starts on top and goes down but doesn't touch the ground, the mechitza tluya does not work according to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, but does work according to Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah. That's a mechitza tluya on land. On water, the Gemara says that mechitza tluya is matir b'mayim. A hanging mechitza works on water. Kal hu shehekilu chachamim b'mayim. It's a special kula midraponon by water. And the Gemara says that effectively what this means is that bekiyas dogim lo shmei bekiya. Even though when a little goat runs through, it destroys a mechitza. But when fish go through, the fish don't destroy the mechitza. Why that is somewhat mysterious, although some of the mefarshim comment that the reason for this is simply because you don't notice the fish. No? Think one of the opinions in Rashi and Parashas Vayechi about Yosef HaTzadik is compared to a fish, no? V'yidgul arev, right? So just like, thank you. And v'yidgul arev, so just like there's no ayin hara that sholet on dagim, there shouldn't be ayin hara that sholet on the children of Yosef HaTzadik. Ayin hara is not sholet on dagim because people don't see fish, right? The fish are not noticeable most of the time. So that's why there's no ayin hara on them. It's just a practical thing. And the simple understanding of this Gemara is also it's a practical thing, meaning that bekiyas dogim is not bekiya. When the fish go through, it doesn't destroy the mechitza because, practically speaking, you don't notice it. I want to talk about that a little bit more in 3-4 minutes. So let's just review. Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't have to build a special mechitza for the cistern, that the kotel, the wall between the courtyard, suffices for the cistern. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, right, third line from the top. Rabbi Bar Chana says his name Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Amora, De Amar Mechitza Teluya Materes. Rabbi Bar Chana says that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in Erevin is the same as Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, that they both say that Mechitza Teluya Materes. They both say that a hanging Mechitza works. In our Mishnah, we had that Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a Mechitza that starts on the top and it's just hanging there. It doesn't reach the floor. That's okay. And Rabbi Yossi said, and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Erevin says that if you have a regular mechitza between the two courtyards, that works also because it's a hanging mechitza, and hanging mechitzas are okay. And Zakli Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are saying the same thing. Then the Gemara says, no. Velohi, that does not work. This is incorrect. To assume that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are the same is not correct. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savala k'Rabbi Yossi, for lo Rabbi Yossi savala k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savala k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Erevin doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah by Sukkah, because ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Yehuda hasam ela be'iruvei chateres d'rabbanan. Avahocha Sukkah de Oraisa lo. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda allows a mechitza teluya there in Erevin because the only issue at hand is a din d'rabbanan. We are technically inside of Rishus HaYochid. The only issue is an iser d'rabbanan I can't carry from your area, you can't carry from my area, especially iser d'rabbanan of Erevin. Rabbi Yehuda would only permit mechitza teluya by dinim d'rabbanan. But in the case of sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda would not permit a mechitza teluya. Rabbi Yehuda would not permit a hanging mechitza. So that's the way the Gemara says it over here. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Yossi, because ad kan lokam Rabbi Yehuda hasam el bar ruva chatziris d'rabbanan. Avahocha sukkah d'oraisa lo. He only said it by Eruvei Chatzeros, which is d'rabbanan. but not by sukkah d'oraisa. Then the Gemara says it the opposite way. V'lo Reb Yossi savar la k'Reb Yehuda. Reb Yossi does not hold like Reb Yehuda. Again, Reb Yossi in our Mishnah in Sukkah, who says that a hanging mechitza is good, he would say that it does not work in the case of Erevin, in the case of the cistern, to draw water from the other side. Why? Ad kan lo kam Reb Yossi hacha ela basukah de mitzvah saseh. Ava Shabbos de iser skila lo. Reb Yossi only says it by Sukkah, because Sukkah, in the worst case scenario, you don't fulfill a mitzvah asay. There's a positive commandment to sit in the Sukkah. The worst case scenario, let's say you think this hanging mechitza is good, and it ends up being not good, so you end up not fulfilling a mitzvah asay. The stakes are not so high. But by Shabbos, the stakes are much higher. It's an iser skila. If you violate Shabbos, you'll get stoned. Now, it's true. Over here, if you violate Shabbos and you carry from that guy's half of the cistern to your half of the cistern, so of course you're not going to be put to death. You won't be stoned because it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. However, since the category of Shabbos is a category min haTorah, that is an Issur Skila. So therefore, even the dinim d'rabbanan might be more stringent, and mechitza tluya might not help. Okay, so let's just review what we're up to. We have two cases in Shas of mechitza tluya. We have our Mishnah in Sukkah Tes Zayin, where Rabbi Yossi says mechitza tluya helps. We have Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin Peivav, where he says that mechitza tluya helps. Two cases. The Gemara says that at first glance, it would seem that Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda are saying the same thing. However, the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe it's not comparable. Maybe Reb Yehuda only permits the Mechitza Tzluya by Erevin, because it's Derabonon, but he would not permit it by Sukkah, which is Deraisa. On the other hand, maybe Reb Yossi permits it only by Sukkah, because it's, in the worst case scenario, it's a mitzvah saseh. But by Shabbos, which is much more severe, which is an issur d'oraisa, he would not permit it. Ad kan divrei ha-Gemara. Now, the Ritva has a comment. This Ritva is found actually in Erevin. On Peivav, not in our Gemara, but he references it over here. The Ritva says that this whole Gemara is really hard to understand, because ultimately, Sukkah is Deraisa, the Dinam on Shabbos is Derabbanan. So what if fundamentally the Halacha of Shabbos could be Deraisa? We're not talking about that. Like, how on earth does the Gemara make this comparison? So the Ritva says a chiddush. The Ritva tells us that on the level of the Oraisa, everybody holds mechitza tluya as a good mechitza. Min haTorah, hanging mechitza works. There's a din derabbanan that a hanging mechitza does not work, because it's only a din derabbanan. So therefore, they said, we will impose this din derabbanan on cases of, according to one opinion, we'll impose it by Sukkah. We'll say that it's no good because Sukkah is a fundamentally a din d'oraisa. According to other opinion, no. We'll say that it's no good mid-rabbanan by the Erevin case. But everyone holds that min ha-Torah, it is good. A potential support for this idea is what we spoke about beforehand. If you remember, we said earlier that Bekiyas Gedeim, right, a Mechitza Shagedoyim Bokimbo, if the little goats go through it, so that invalidates the Mechitza. But if the fish go through it, it doesn't invalidate it. And we said the reason is because fish are not noticeable and little kids are noticeable. Now that idea, if it's noticeable, it's not noticeable, doesn't seem to be particularly relevant. Ultimately, if you're saying that a mechitza has to be a barricade, something that blocks things from going through, so what difference does it make if the thing that goes through is noticeable or not noticeable? If it's not blocking, it's not a mechitza. But if what we're saying is that a mechitza min hatira does not have to be a barrier, it doesn't have to be something that prevents stuff from going through, it's just that it looks bad if stuff goes through. In other words, min ha-Torah, a mechitza truly is a good mechitza, but it looks bad if it doesn't. So then I'll say, oh, I understand that by fish, since it doesn't look so bad, that's why it's going to be okay. That's why kahu sheikilu chacham b'mayim, that's why a mechitza truly works. With water, the machlokas is whether it has to be a mechitza truly that you build specifically for the water or not. This is the principle so far in our Gemara. Good? Now, first the Gemara again thinks that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same thing. Then the Gemara says, no, they're not saying the same thing. V'im tomar. If you see, like I scrolled on the sheet, so on the page, so v'im tomar is like three lines from the top. V'im tomar. Ma'isa shenase b'tzipori alpi mi na'ase. Lo alpi Rabbi Yossi. If you're going to ask a question, what about the famous episode in Tzipori? Who was that story according to? Shouldn't it be according to Rabbi Yossi? The basic story is like this, that Rabbi Yossi, who is the Tana in our Mishnah, who says that Mechitza Tzuliya helps, Rabbi Yossi also lived in the city called Tzipori. That's where he lived. So there was once upon a time a famous episode in the city of Tzipori, and presumably that episode is going according to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the Av Bezdin of Tzipori. He's the chief honcho rabbi there. So if that's Rabbi Yossi and Tzipori, presumably the episode goes according to Rabbi Yossi. Vim toimar, ma'aser shenase b'tzipori al pi minase, lo al pi Rabbi Yossi, elo al pi Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says it cannot be according to Rabbi Yossi. It has to be according to Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi, which Rashi says means that the story happened after Rabbi Yossi died. Meaning, Rabbi Yossi himself would not have permitted this. His son, Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi, permits it. And therefore, since the episode was permitted, it could not have taken place in the lifetime of Rabbi Yossi. My. So what's the story? So Gemara says, "Duchi Asa Rav Dimi Amar." When Rav Dimi came to Bava from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "Pam achas shachachu v'lo heviu sefer Torah me'erev Shabbos." Once upon a time, they forgot to bring the sefer Torah to shul from erev Shabbos. Rashi over here comments that they would not leave the sefer Torah in the shul all week because they were worried that the goyim would steal the sefer Torah. Today we have like locks on the Aron Kodesh, no? But in their times, I guess they didn't have locks. So they would take the Sefer Torah and they would keep the Sefer Torah at home in one house. Pamachas, once upon a time, they forgot and they didn't bring the Sefer Torah from Erev Shabbos. They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah before Shabbos. So L'machar, on Shabbos, Pirsu Sadinin al-Gabe Ha'amudim. On Shabbos, they spread some cloth on pillars. Veheviu Sefer Torah, and then they bring the Sefer Torah, Vikar Ubo, and they lay in the Torah. Pirsu Salkadaitach, Mehechan Heviyum, B'Shabbos. The Gemara says, what do you mean? They spread cloth, and therefore they're allowed to carry the Torah. Apparently, again, it's one of these situations that it's like a chutzer. It's a courtyard, and you can't carry from one side to the other. And because they didn't make an Erev together. So therefore, the buildings on this side will aser the buildings on that side. So what they're doing is they take a cloth and they spread the cloth out to separate the two sides of the chatzer. So now they can go from the house to the shul. And now it's not a problem because the people on the other side won't make it aser. So Sigma asks, one second, Mehechon Heviyum, where did they bring the cloth from on Shabbos. You tell me that they spread a cloth. How did they spread a cloth? That itself would be carrying. That itself would be the aver of carrying on Shabbos. Ella, the case has to be matzu sadinim parusim al gabe ha'amudim behiviu sefer Torah v'kar ubo. Rather, what they did is they found these cloths that are hanging on the posts, and then they spread it out, and they bring the Sefer Torah, and they lay it. So let's just pause for a second to take inventory of what we're up to. Reb Yossi himself says that Mechitza Tluya helps. That's what Reb Yossi says in our Mishnah. But the way the Gemara explained it is that Reb Yossi only says Mechitza Tluya helps by Sukkah. For purposes of Shabbos, Reb Yossi would not allow a Mechitza Tluya to help. So Gemara says, 1 second, hold it, slow. If for purposes of Shabbos, Mechitza Tluya does not help, so then what happened once upon a time in Sipori when they have a Sefer Torah that they forgot to bring to Shul, and then they drape the cloth so they're allowed to bring the Sefer Torah to Shul? The cloth that they drape, the Gemara is assuming, has to be a cloth that does not touch the ground. The cloth does not touch the ground probably because that's just the reality. They're not going to find a cloth that was already touching the ground. So they have this cloth and they drape it. How does that help for Shabbos? Didn't Reb Yossi tell me that Mechitza Tluya only helps by Sukkah? It does not help by Shabbos. That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, you know what? Even though that story happened in Sipori, that story was not done according to the express written permission of Rabbi Yossi, but rather you have to read like the tiny little letters at the end of the credits, right? But rather it was given according to the express written permission of Rabbi Yishmob, Rabbi Yossi, his son, because Rabbi Yossi himself would not permit Mechitza Tluya for Shabbos. That's the Gemara. Now, a few things that are worth discussing. Some more humorous, I don't know, humorous, or some more grounded than others. One idea is the Arach Laner. Right? We mentioned Arach Laner, Yaakov Ettlinger, the rabbi of Ahu, Altoona, whatever, Wansbach and Hamburg or something. So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in his Sefer Arach Laner says, I don't understand. Why is it so difficult to get the Sefer Torah to Shul? You have no Goyim. Take a Goy. Have the Goy bring the Sefer Torah to Shul. Is that an interesting kasha? It's pretty obvious. So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger has a discussion. Maybe we don't allow Goyim to touch the Sefer Torah. Maybe it's considered an insult to the Kedusha Sefer Torah if a guy carries it. And he has a whole discussion about that. Again, I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's like conclusive proof in any direction, because we could just say that maybe they did not actually have a guy. But nonetheless, the point that Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger makes is worth noting.
Why not take the people to the Sefer Torah?
Why not take the people to the Sefer Torah? Yeah, bring the mountains, Mohammed, or whatever it is. So apparently, the Sefer Torah is in a private home. My guess is that a home was really, really small, and they couldn't get all the people in. Right? The shul was larger. Okay. Again, this is all very practical. You also see from this Gemara, by the way, that you're allowed to carry from a home to a shul, even without an Eruv. They forgot to make an Eruv, right? So the entire chatzah, I can't carry from my house to your house. So what they did is they build like a mechitza down the middle to separate your house from my house, and then they could take the Torah from my house to the shul. 1 second, how am I allowed to carry a Torah from my house to the shul? There's no Eruv. The answer is, it's clear in this Gemara, that you do not need an Eruv for the shul. I need an heir from a private home to another private home. That's the takana Shlomo HaMelech, that I can't go from my private home to your private home without an eruv. But a shul is not a place where people live. Eruv is necessary when people live there. A shul, people don't live. So therefore, according to technical halacha, the shul does not require an eruv. However, the Gemara in Psachim tells me that the reason why they make kiddush on Friday night in shul is because there are certain poor people who would sleep in shul. The Balei HaTosfos said, obviously they can't sleep in the shul itself because that's not bakavedek to the shul, and it's usur for kedushas beis kinesis to sleep in the shul. Some people have a chumra, by the way, that rabbis are never allowed to speak, because if the rabbi speaks, people might end up violating this avera of falling asleep in shul. No? But the point is that the Balei HaTosfos say when we speak about the poor people, it means that the poor people slept in a side room next to the shul. Once you have poor people who are sleeping in the side room next to the shul, so that means that there are poor people, there are people living in the shul, then you would need an eruv. This Gemara that says you don't need an eruv to get from my house to the shul is obviously referring to the fact that there are no poor people living in the shul. Okay. Next point. The Gemara is only bothered by the question as to how did they take a sheet, how did they take a cloth and build a mechitza on Shabbos? They're not allowed to carry the cloth on Shabbos. But that's the Gemara's question. Pirsu sakadaitach mehechon heviyum. Where did they bring the cloth from? Wouldn't it be usser to bring the cloth because it's carrying on Shabbos? Now, the Gemara could have asked a better question. The Gemara's better question is, how do you take a cloth and build a wall with it? There's a malacha called bona on Shabbos. You're not allowed to build. Right? It's striking. The Gemara is only bothered, how did they take the cloth? Wouldn't that be carrying? The Gemara does not say, how did they take the cloth and make it in mechitza? We're not supposed to build a mechitza on Shabbos. Says Rashi, this teaches me that there is no aveira in building a mechitza on Shabbos. There is an aveira of building on Shabbos. But building means I build a full-fledged ohel, according to Rashi. A tent means you have walls with a roof. To build an ohel on Shabbos, that's usur, according to Rashi. But to just build a mechitza, just to build a dividing thing, even though that mechitza allows me to do something I could not have previously done, it's what the halacha would call a mechitza hamateres. It's a mechitza that allows me to do something I couldn't do beforehand. According to Rashi, there is no prohibition of building a mechitza materes on Shabbos. The malacha of bona is only if I build walls with a roof. If I just build a mechitza, even though that mechitza allows me to do stuff that I couldn't do beforehand, according to Rashi, there's no problem at all. We'll read this a little bit in the Taisus. Pirsu sakadaitach mehechon heviyum. Where did they get the cloth from? V'halo hoya osur l'haknes l'hotzi. You're not allowed to carry the cloth. V'ho hakol moldim lo garsinon. We don't have the text hakol moldin demechitza below gag lo lav ohelhu umechitza kazu mutter lasos b'shabes. Rashi says you're allowed to build a mechitza without a roof on Shabbos. Just to build a mechitza is permitted. And he proves it from a Gemara in Erev and Daf Tzadi Daled, that there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Let's say I have two courtyards, and there's a fence between the two courtyards. And I have my Erev on your side, and you have your Erev on my side, whatever it is, right? And there's a fence between them, but then the fence falls down on Shabbos. Are you allowed to carry until the place where the fence used to be? Do I apply a principle of Shabbos Hayo V'Hutra, Hutra? And since it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it's mutter on all Shabbos. And there's machlokes between Rav and Shmuel over there in the Gemara, etc. And the Gemara tells a story that we have a question. Why did Shmuel go to build the wall? Doesn't Shmuel say, when the wall fell down, how can Shmuel went to rebuild it? Isn't Shmuel of the opinion that you're allowed to carry even after the wall fell down? So the Gemara answers that Shmuel did it for tznius. You get the impression, Rashi says, that according to Rav, there's no problem at all of building the wall, because even though I could not carry now, since the wall fell down, because you would answer me, but Rav says it's not a problem. Mechitza materes is not a problem. You're allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos that permits people from doing stuff which they otherwise did not do. Which they otherwise could not do. However, the Balei HaTosfos disagree. I have to find where it is. V'nira L'Rabbeinu Tam. I just scrolled up. You see, V'nira L'Rabbeinu Tam, it's like the top over here. V'nira L'Rabbeinu Tam D'min Hatzad Nami Shayech Asiyas Ohel. V'chol Hechad Aminan Mechitza Zumo Eles Lahatir Choshev Asiyas Ohel B'tchila. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you're not allowed to build a mechitza hamateres on Shabbos. Rashi says you're allowed to. Rashi says that the prohibition of building a tent on Shabbos is only walls with a roof. But if it's just a wall, according to Rashi, it is going to be just a wall. According to Rashi, it's okay. Rabbeinu Tam in the Taisa says no, to build a mechitza hamateres is forbidden on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Tesvav Paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam. Of course, this raises a question. If I can't build a mechitza materis on Shabbos, so sometimes in shuls, you know, you have, in some shuls, you have a situation that, let's say, women don't come Friday night, and Friday night you have a larger crowd, so the men are in the area that's ordinarily designated for the women, and then Shabbos morning they move the mechitzos, and you have a women's section and the men's section. Right? That's not so uncommon. There's a discussion in the poskim. Are you allowed to do that? Since we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, that I'm not allowed to build a mechitza materes on Shabbos, so l'cha'ora, I should not be allowed to build a mechitza in shul on Shabbos. And I think it's standard practice among Orthodox Jewish congregations, no? Any of you have seen this? That they move a mechitza on Shabbos? Right? It happens all the time. How do you do that? We pass the Rabbeinu Tam, not like Rashi. So the answer to this is that apparently a mechitza in shul is not called a mechitza materes. The mechitza in shul is considered a mechitza just for tznius. It's there only for modesty. There is no activity that could not be done without the mechitza that I can now do with the mechitza. That's the way the Rishonim explain. The Mordechai says that they used to have a mechitza for the drasha. When the rabbi would give a speech on Shabbos, they'd put up a mechitza. And the Mordechai is bothered by the kasha. How do they put up a mechitza when the rabbi gives a speech on Shabbos? Isn't that mechitza materes? So Mordechai answers, no, the mechitza for the rabbi's speech is not mechitza materes. That is just for tznius ba'alma. It's just for modesty. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the mechitza's in shul. Some rabbonim said you're not allowed to move the mechitza's in shul on Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik said it's okay because the mechitza in shul is also for tznius purposes. It's not really a mechitza hamateres. If a person wants to sleep with his spouse, her spouse, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have sex when there are svarim in the room. So you can't build a mechitza to protect, to block you from the svarim. By svarim, I mean, let's say, Sefer Torah, film, mezuzahs, even our svarim today, we assume are a problem. You can't build a mechitza for that. That's a mechitza materis, because that activity could not be done without the mechitza. But you could daven without the mechitza. So therefore, that's not a mechitza materis. Again, it is very hard to explain this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing the best I can, but this is not so easy to explain. But Rav Shechtan, the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, points out that that's why Rav Soloveitchik permitted on putting the mechitza up. But be it as it may, Rashi says that you're allowed to build a mechitza materis on Shabbos. The Balei HaTosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, here on Sukkot HaZayin, says you can't build a mechitza materes on Shabbos. I thought that conceptually, this issue depends on the following idea. There's another machlokas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam about whether there is binyan bekalim. The Gemara says that there's no binyan bekalim, that the malacha bona is only on karka, ground, not on kalim, not on utensils. But the Balei HaTosfos have a chiddush. The Balei HaTosfos say that there is binyan gomor on kalim. If it's a significant act, like if you take the hoe and you attach the handle to the hoe, that's a very significant thing. Now it's usable. Until now, it wasn't usable. So that could be the malacha bona. That's binyan gomor. Binyan gomor by kalim, Tosfos says, is bona. Rashi holds that binyan gomor by kalim is also not bona. The idea is probably as follows. Rashi holds that the malacha of a bona is only if I do exactly what was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, how did they build? Oh, I'll tell you what they built. They built a Mishkan. You have walls and you have a roof. So according to Rashi, that's the only real full-fledged bona. If it is something that's like the Mishkan. And building the Kalim is not like the Mishkan. That's Kalim is what they did for the Avoda. That was the activities in the Mishkan. That's not the Mishkan itself. According to Rashi, bona is only the construction of the Mishkan. Tosfos, however, has a different approach. Tosfos says, when I learn from the Mishkan, what that means is only binyan chashuv, only a significant act is called bona. Ordinarily, a significant act is building a full thing. Ordinarily, building a keli is not significant. But that's only if it's like a flimsy keli. If I fashion a keli from beginning to end, that's also significant. And in that situation, Tosfos and Shabbos Kuf Beis Amud Beis says that binyan bekalim in that situation is going to be chayiv because it is significant. Similarly, Tosfos holds that any act that's significant is going to be bona. So if I build a mechitza materes on Shabbos, that's also significant. If it's significant, I'm going to be chayiv on Shabbos. Effectively, what I'm trying to maintain, what I'm trying to argue is as follows. That Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing about the nature of the malacha of bona. Rashi says bona is only what they did in the Mishkan. Walls, roof, both, that's bona. Kalem is not bona. Tosfos says no. The idea of bona, that malacha is a significant act. Therefore, if I am building a keli, but it's a significant act, I'm chayiv. Therefore, if it's a mechitza materes, I'm chayiv. That's what Tosfos says. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how do you understand the malacha bona? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, any questions or comments, observations, jokes? No. Okay, Chevra. So thank you for coming to learn. And I want to wish you a good night and try to be safe, which means at least sukkah type of structures in the New York area, maybe not the best place to go. And if you want to get a meal, go down to Florida, but I'd recommend not traveling very much at this point. It's much safer to just stay home. Okay, Chabra, have a good night.